Let's grab our Bibles. Continue playing softly. Amen. Psalms 100. Amen. Psalms 100. Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh my. Praise the Lord. How many is excited about what God is doing?
Amen.
In spite of what you that it looks like. Amen. God is still moving.
Amen.
God is in control.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Happy are we. Amen. Psalms 100 reads, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. The Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. We'd like to ask Brother Smile to come and open us up in prayer. Amen. This morning.
Precious Father, we just thank you once again for meeting the need, Lord God, and for just the opportunity to be able to come out to the house of the Lord this morning and give thanks and praise, Lord. You know, just listening to Brother Jack on Wednesday night talking about being gracious. Sometimes, Lord God, we lose sight on all of the things that you've already done for us.
Amen.
God, we just want to learn to be grateful and gracious to you. We know you're merciful, God, Lord. Your God is rich in mercies. And Father, we just ask that you so anoint this place, Lord God, that we've gathered here this morning to thank you and praise you and to sing songs and to feed upon the word of God. We pray that you just anoint Brother Jack this morning. Break the bread of life to us, Lord. Open up our understanding to the scriptures, and we be so careful to give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Jesus.
God's got it all in control. God's got it all in control. Oh yes, He does. He's got it all in control. Let reassure us way down in our soul. God's got it all in control. Say that again. God's got it all.
Often fall.
we ask Tina to prepare herself. Amen. But before Tina comes on, perhaps sing this little song that you can join in with. Never sung it before. I just want to hear it. Amen. But it goes a little bit like this.
I have a mansion there. Oh, I believe.
over there. Amen. We won't have to move from there. Amen. We won't be defeated over there. Amen. We won't have to move no more. Amen. I tell you what, when I moved into that house, I told my wife, I'm tired of moving. I said, this is it. Until I move up. Amen. We won't have to move no more. Put up our announcement, and we kind of just flying by the seat of our pants here this morning, just a little bit. But we needed to read, you know, we had a nice monitor in front. Y'all thought we were memorizing all that stuff. We were just reading. We wasn't memorizing. My brother about to get some cue cards. Hey man, we have a birthday. Amen. On Sister Jemima on Wednesday the 8th.
Jemima.
I'm sorry. Amen. God bless you, Sister Jemima. Amen. Sister Gina. That's right, ain't it? I think I can say that. On Thursday. Amen. Give her a round of applause. Praise God for that. Amen. We're going to get right back into the flow of things. The service is Wednesday night at 7:30. Say, please knock before entering into the restrooms. Amen. They do not lock. So, don't just open the door. We're going to have to come over. So, I think there's something in the works to take care of that. But for now, we're asking everybody to make sure that if you go to the restroom, just be courteous and knock and make sure that there's no one in there. I'll have somebody, when someone goes out to the restroom, one of the brothers to stand out and kind of stand guard. We don't, if they don't lock, you know, we'll handle that. Visual streaming will continue through Twitter at Spirit of Truth, amen, at Spirit of Truth, Facebook, SAT Tavern, amen. Upcoming events, Sister's Prayer will be this Tuesday at 7:30, amen. Next Sunday we'll be here in the same place, Sunday morning. Prayer will be at 9, and service will start at 10:30, we're asking everyone, amen, if you're not going to be in here for prayer and stay right over to try and be here, amen, no later than 10 o'clock, amen, service starts at 10:30, give yourself time to sit and get the travel off you. How many know you? Sometimes you got to get the road off.
Yeah.
You got to come in and sit down for a while, get your mind right. You know, man, because you know you're rushing, trying to get here, breaking the law, speeding. I know we all do it. Trying to get looking at the clock, you know, locking up, mad at the person the next year because they're going too slow. Amen. So let's just pray and get here at a decent time so that we can be in the right frame of mind to worship the Lord, to receive from Him. I mean, know that sometimes when you're all bottled up with that stuff, you know, you can't receive. You know, by the time you get to the place where you can receive, He done been here and gone. You say, well, I'm ready now. We done had church. You know, so let's try and get here. Amen. Church begins at home. Uh-oh. I ain't a preacher. Preacher getting ready. But church begins when you wake up. Your mind should already be on track. It's Sunday morning. Lord, it's church time. My church begins at midnight. I be at work, and I'm having church in my truck. I be mad when I get a call to go fix something, interrupting me. But we get ourselves, I'm excited about going to church. You know what? Out of the most first 2 weeks. You know, but we the wife and I went over there, and my son got married, and we had a wonderful time, and we just kind of spent some time to just relax. Amen. I'm not going to tell all of that, but anyway, just try to get there a little early. Just make it be intentional about Sunday morning and Wednesday. Be intentional. Amen. Our giving. WWW Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, or through the My Church app, PayPal, or Cash App. When donating, please choose the option to transfer or send to a friend. This will minimize any or eliminate any PayPal fees. Giving at John423.org, amen, is the call sign without any spaces. Cash App is $ Spirit and Truth T. And Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, if you would like to mail, your offering in, address is Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, P.O. Box 222-462, West Palm Beach, Florida, 33422. Amen. I hope you got the business out of it. Amen. We love the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I left all of my little paperwork that I was working on last night. Now I don't know what to say. Amen. Lord. Notes and books and everything. So we gonna get it together. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter. I am the clay. Glory and shame.
schoolhouse of the Lord. Amen. Thank God for all that he is doing. Just you can do grateful for the things he's done. Just put us off. For those that are screaming, we realize that there is an issue there. And for some reason, it's just not stable. It just keeps dropping. And we're not 100% sure what is the cause of that problem. But we ask that you do try to bear with us. And if it doesn't work out, we'll be recording here anyway. And we'll put we always put it off on YouTube. So you'll be able to get to it. But we do want you to be a part of the service. Amen. You are a part of this journey. Amen. With us. So we thank God for you. But just bear with us. We are doing all we can to ensure that the stream works. And I do know that we are sharing this facility with another church. I'm not sure if they're also streaming. And sometimes the bandwidth becomes a problem like that. So we have to kind of work with the school on things like that. But God knows all things. Amen. Amen. I was telling the brothers, I feel like the Lord is making us very uncomfortable so that we don't feel like we need to praise the Lord. And sometimes we have to put some fasting and prayer with what we're trying to do. And so we want to encourage the church to be a part of, amen, the prayer services as you can. I was blessed this morning as I pulled up, amen, Sister Dixon was getting out of the car at 9 o'clock. And I want to put emphasis, Sister Dixon was getting out of her car. Sitting in the parking lot waiting to see who was coming, who was here. Praise the Lord. And, you know, that means a lot, you know, those pillows that you're sitting on. Trying to make it look comfortable for you. Years ago, God gave Sister Dixon the vision to put those pillars together so that you could use them for prayer. But they serve a dual purpose. Right? And so we thank God for her, and amen, we just appreciate her. And so we just want to encourage the church, let's all just try to join in together, do all we can, amen, for this season. So good to have Brother Kwaku home. We're just very, very happy, you know, that he made it back safely. He got a chance to do some ministry over there as well, and I will certainly make room for him, amen, within the next couple weeks, just to kind of share, amen, with us all that the Lord was doing. So, but we appreciate having him, amen, back home with us. Praise the Lord. I want to have a little something here that I feel is very significant. New life is coming into our midst. It's a new life. And I don't think it's by accident or by chance that this is happening now. I think it's got something to do with, you know, just us as a church, you know, and our fun expectation. But I want to ask, amen. First, before I do that, that song that Sister Amanda's song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Lord had that song in my spirit all week long. And yesterday we went to Orlando. We had to bury, amen, the son of Brother Ray and Sister Bethany. They had a son. He was born prematurely. His name was Josiah. He lived for 9 days, and they had to bury him on yesterday. So they asked me to sing a song, amen, for the service. And I had that in my spirit. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. And as I was thinking on that, you know, that song was birthed because a man went through some tremendous trials. And what had happened is this man had found the love of his life. And he said, I'm going to marry this lady. And they set their date to get married. And just before the wedding, I want to say days or a week before the wedding, somehow an accident occurred and this lady died. So, you know, you can imagine the grief that he was going through and what he was feeling. And probably thought he'd never love again. And then somebody else came into his life and he fell in love again. And he engaged this woman, going to marry her. And weeks before, days before, another accident occurs. And she dies. I believe it was after this moment the man began to think. It's just something about the relationship that people back then had with God versus the relationship we have with God now. But after this man had this particular trial, the words came, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Hallelujah. So the song was birthed out of a tremendous trial, amen, that he went through, trials that he went through. And I believe, God uses things like that for his glory. And I think even right now, as we are, I don't want to call it a trial. I just call it a transition.
Yeah, yes,
right?
Yes.
But God is using it all for his glory. I am sure of that. But new life is coming into our midst. Through the union of Brother Josue and Sister Man. And you all know just a portion of Sister Amanda's testimony and how the enemy was attacking her with cancer a couple different times, but God has brought healing to her body. That when you see God bringing healing like that, there's a purpose and a reason for this child to come forth. The Satan was fighting even before the child was conceived. So there's a purpose and a reason for the child to come forth. And they just asked, they said, Brother Jack, would you mind just praying over us and praying over the pregnancy? That God would just keep us during this time. So I said, we sure will. And I was going to invite them to come up at this time. And we want to pray over them. I'm telling you, Joseph is ready. And I appreciate you, Joseph. Amen. You all just bow your heads. Just open your stand. Father God, we come. First of all, thanking you for this conception. We know, God, that the enemy was fighting time and time again to, Lord, try to prevent this from happening. But God, you have a greater purpose. Thank you for your healing in Sister Amanda's body. Lord, and just allow her to get to this point, Lord, that she could conceive this child. Father, we know that you're already here in the beginning. We trust that you would also be in the middle of the process as she carries the baby to full term. We're claiming that there will be no issues, none out of the ordinary. And Father, we believe that you'll be at the end of the process when the child is delivered and comes into this world. God, give them, Lord, all that they need to create a home and an environment that the child will be loved, be raised in a Christian atmosphere. And I pray, God, that you just watch over the father and the family as they stand together through this time. And Lord, just ask that you would be with them. We thank you for new life coming forth at a time like this. We believe you're in it, Father. We thank you for what you're doing in our midst. And Father, may this just be the beginning of other couples that will also experience new life. We claim it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready to be deep. Well, maybe, but it's for you. Amen. And I trust that the Lord will just help us, amen, and just kind of sort through it. Here in Revelation, Revelation 6, amen, is where I want to read from. Revelation 6, verse 9. Amen. Revelation 6 and verse 9. Let's just start reading there. And it says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." Now, just so that you are clear, this scripture is speaking specifically about the Jews. Amen. It's speaking specifically about the Jews. Let me also just add, let me just read. So they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" So these people are looking for revenge. And verse 11 says, "And white robes." This is the part that blesses me. And I pray to be a blessing to you. This is speaking about the Jews. "White robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." All right. Amen. So that's all we want to read. Let's just have a little prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of the word. We also thank you for a prophet that has brought to us, amen, revelation, so that we can understand what we read, how we appreciate it. We don't have to be afraid. God, we have clarity. We're grateful for these things and pray that you just open up our understanding. And Father, also want to just pray for the stream. God, we know that you're even involved with technology. There are saints that are depending on that stream. And God, we ask that you just work all things out. We know all the details, so God, we just pray and we release it to you. Ask that you would just sort through all the details and allow the saints to be able to enter in right where they are and receive the word of God. Satan, we bind you and all of your attack, and we just release the Holy Spirit to have his way. Thank you for allowing us to gather in this place again this day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I am battling, amen, a little head cold, so you all just bear with me here today. Just got a little stuffy nose, but just battling that, and it's okay. I mean, colds have been around for years, and so as soon as you say something like that, people always say COVID, but I ain't claiming COVID. I said it's a head cold, and we're just going to get through it. So here, I want to use the title today, Accepting the Pardoning Grace of the Living Word. Amen. Accepting the Pardoning Grace of the Living Word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to just start reading, amen, from a message here called The Message of Grace. And Brother Branham makes some statements here because we're talking about accepting the pardoning grace, the pardoning grace of the living word. And so he gives us a statement here in this message, The Message of Grace. It says, "Grace is old. Grace is old." It says, "Grace is as old as the world is." I love this. Amen. Grace is old. Grace is as old as the world is. It says, "Grace was first shown to the human race when we had the beginning of the human race." Hallelujah. "When the human race was first created in the Garden of Eden on that dark morning when that little woman had stepped across the separating line." So he's going, taking us back to Genesis, and you can see in this as he gives us, you know, just like a little vision of it. We see Eve stepping across the separating line. We see her partaking of this tree of knowledge, good and evil, right? And as she partakes of this tree of knowledge good and evil, she steps across the separating line. So he says this. He says, on that dark morning when that little woman had stepped across the separating line and had gone against God's commandments and enticed her husband to do the same thing, then the law was broken. Right? And the law was, the day you eat thereof, that day you die.
Right.
So this was the law. So when she partook of it, then she introduced it to her husband. This is when she crossed the line. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's go on a little further. He says the law must have a penalty or it isn't no law. The law was the day you eat thereof, that day you shall surely die. Remember the first judgment seat. What that was upon the earth, it was in the Garden of Eden, and the last judgment seat will be upon the earth at the end time, will be the white throne judgment. All right, it says, but when Jehovah come down, I could imagine there wasn't even a star. Look at how he describes this. There wasn't even a star to shine. It was so dark in that light little garden that once was, because sin had blotted it out. Had taken the light from among them, you know. And I want you to go a little further than just looking at what happened to Adam and Eve, but look at your own life. Hallelujah. Look at, amen, maybe some things that we'd be ashamed of. Let's put it that way. If we had to tell the public what we did, we'd be ashamed. We had crossed a separating line. Hallelujah. But the reason that you're sitting in the place that you're sitting this morning, because somehow grace stepped in.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Grace stepped in. And sometimes, amen, we found ourselves in very dangerous situations. I heard a brother this week talk about how he had many gun barrels pointed in his face. Amen. But he lived to tell about it. It's because grace stepped in. When you think about maybe that accident that you could have had and lost your life, hallelujah, it was nothing you did, but grace stepped in. Grace is what delivered you. Grace is what set you free. Hallelujah. Sometimes we don't realize that even if we're not serving God the way that we're supposed to serve God, we don't realize how the grace of God is still protecting us. The grace of God is still keeping us. Hallelujah. I thank God for grace. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Here, you know, the prophet goes on and says, because sin had blotted it out and taken the light from among them. That's what's the matter with the church today. That's what's the matter with the people today. Sin has blotted out the light of the living God to show that Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he lives to save the uttermost, to heal the lowest sick person. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes that's what happens with folk when they kind of come to church and then leave church and they back in church and all that. The reason that we have an unstable life is because we haven't recognized the grace of God to us.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, when you truly recognize God's grace, it causes you to want to serve him a little bit more. It causes you to love him a little bit more. Amen. But I pray this morning that the light will come on in somebody. He goes on and he says this, oh, how it was terrible that morning. Darkness hanging in the garden. He says, I'll imagine fog of black sackcloth. I'd imagine every leaf never moved. Says there was no wind stirred. It was darkness and terrible because sin had blotted it out. And think about it, when we're in a life of sin, amen, we can't feel the move of God. We can't feel the Spirit of God. We can't feel these things because sin blots it out. But when we get sin corrected, then you start feeling the Spirit of God all over again.
Yeah.
Says, there came Jehovah down like a roar of thunder, walking through the garden, cried, Adam, where art thou? Notice Adam didn't go looking for God, but God came looking for him.
Right.
And there's many of us, glory to God, that are sitting here this morning. It's not because we started looking for God, but it's because God came looking for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, when God starts looking for you, ain't no place you can hide on this earth.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. The best thing you can do is just surrender to his spirit.
Right.
Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right. It says, Adam, where art thou? That's when Adam realized he was naked and had sinned before God. He hid himself and tried to make himself a religion, but it didn't work.
God killed some sheep, took the skins, and showed that something had to die to cover sin. Right? Joining church will never cover sin. No dry out confession will ever cover sin. It takes sorrow and repentance and the grace of God to cover sin. Three things: sorrow, repentance, and the grace of God. Get that now. Amen. You got to be sorry for what you've done. When you're really sorry for it, you don't go back out there and keep doing it all over again. But God, I'm stopping right here. I'm placing my stake down, and I'm stopping this life of sin. And I repent because I realize that these things displease you.
Right?
So it takes solemn repentance and the grace of God to cover sin. For the blood of Jesus Christ, the one that God killed at Calvary, to cover sin. Now let me go on a little further in this message of grace. It says, there in the garden that morning, when sin was so black, Jehovah came in. There stood his couple standing condemned. Adam and Eve, there would be no more human race. Think about it now. They had to die. Do you realize? Oh my, just get the picture in your mind. After Eve did what she did, and then Adam got involved, and now Jehovah comes down, and they look, now realize, hallelujah, in order for us to get here, we all had to come through Adam and Eve. Oh my, I want you to get that. In order for us to be here to praise God the way that we're worshiping right now, we had to come through Adam and Eve, but here they are, standing in a condemned state. Standing in a place where they have crossed the line and now death has to enter in. Oh, hallelujah. But the grace of God intervened on their behalf, which allowed us to be here as expressions of God. We're here by grace. We're here by grace. We live by grace. Hallelujah. Look at this. Go on. Let's go on. It says there would be no human race. They had to die. Death on the human race. Give the world back to the wild beasts, and there had been no human race. But in the darkest of hour, oh, glory to God, in the time when all hopes was gone, grace come pouring through. Thank you, Jesus. Said, I'll give you a Savior, Messiah. Oh, it's so wonderful how God could ever do it. God's amazing grace in the Garden of Eden that gave them the promise of a just one who would come through the woman. The woman's seed shall bruise the serpent's head, the guilty one, and his head shall bruise her heel, to show there be an affliction to the church, but he promised a triumph. I like that, church. Yeah, it's going to be an affliction, but it's also going to be a trial. Well, we're going to have some trials, but we're going to have some victories. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're going to have some testimony to share when you get on the other side. Amen. Don't let the children of Israel tell you everything. You got to have something to say.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Look, he says, but he promised a triumph. What provided a Savior? What provided a Savior? Grace. Let's go a little further. He says, what could they show to merit grace? What could they show to do it? The already expression is using, I only want to make it from my pulpit here to make a point, passing the buck. Adam said, the woman you give me did it. The woman said, the serpent beguiled me. One laying it to another, there was no hopes for them, but God provided grace. And it come breaking through. And it said, but I'll make a way somehow. I'll save you regardless. I am so happy that God saved me regardless. You better just take a trip down memory lane. Some of the stuff that you got yourself into, God still saved you regardless. Wasn't even looking at all them things. Grace is greater than that. Oh, they have a song, Grace, Grace, God's Grace.
Yeah.
A grace that is greater than all our sins. I thank God for this grace. Let's go on. Let's go on. It says, God provided grace. It come breaking through. And he said, but I'll make a way somehow. I'll save you regardless. You've done wrong. You've trespassed my laws. You and my laws will have to be, judgment from my laws will have to be executed. Therefore, there'll have to be death because I said death. Hallelujah. So, but we get from that is that God intervened. They didn't die immediately. It took years before actually death settled in. Hallelujah, they didn't die immediately, but it was God's grace that changed the situation.
Right.
You know, grace, I was looking at this from the Lumina software that I use sometimes. They have some fun facts about grace. And they say, what is grace? Grace is God's mercy toward us, even though we don't deserve it.
Right.
Right. See, Adam and Eve didn't deserve it.
Uh-huh.
Right? They broke the law. There had to be a punishment for breaking that law. And they didn't deserve it, but God gave it to them anyway. God gave it to them regardless. And I want you to think, it wasn't just Adam and Eve broke the law. We broke the law.
Amen.
We broke God's law. But God still gives grace regardless.
Amen.
Here's another one. Where in the Bible did grace begin? And here in the Lumina software, they say from the very beginning with Adam and Eve.
Wow.
That's where grace began. Hallelujah. God's mercy towards us, even though we don't deserve it, it began in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. It says, there is the evidence of God's grace. It says, who gives grace? God is the one that gives grace.
Right.
Amen. When do we receive God's grace? When we repent of our sins and turn to Him in faith, we can receive grace. Hallelujah. Amen. And here's another one. How do we receive God's grace? It's by putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He was God's grace. And here's the last one that I love. It says, why does God give grace? Why? And they're answering the Lumina software because it's part of His nature. I like that. That tells me there's an attribute in God. An attribute called grace. And there takes certain circumstances and certain situations before that attribute is actually expressed.
Right.
And I'm so glad that He found me where I was and He expressed the attribute of grace. I've accepted the pardoning grace of the living Word.
Right.
I want to just pick up a scripture here in Ephesians 2. I'm just blessed by this thought. We thank God for grace. Ephesians 2 verse 1, let's just read this. Oh, glory to God. Amen. The Bible says, and you have been quickened. Amen. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, Brother Smiley came up here this morning and opened the service in prayer. And when he, in his prayer, he quoted one of the verses right out of this scripture. I said, ain't God good? Another thing that happened, I was at home, I guess it was Friday night, and you know, I was thinking about, you know, coming out of this fifth seal here, and my daughter Sarah approached me and said, you know, she had some questions from some lady on the job that sent up this video to watch about the seal being broken. And I said, oh, so these people out here studying the seals. I said, all right, well, we need to look at this then. It was a confirmation to me that we need to go in this direction, because there's a lot of people confused out there. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, just let me stay with it. They got the vaccine as the mark of the beast. That ain't true, y'all. I just have to tell you that ain't true. That is not true. I'm not telling you gotta take the vaccine. I ain't say that, but I'm telling you it's not the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
I am telling you that. That anybody tell you that, they are absolutely wrong. Brother Brandon didn't teach that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It's your choice what you do, but don't say, I ain't taking it because of the mark of the beast. Don't say that, please. That's off the word. All right, let me keep going. Amen. It says, and you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the courses of this world. See, you got to see yourself in this scripture. Amen. According to the prince of the power of the air. My, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. That means I used to hang with these people.
Yes.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Right?
I mean, there's an old saying that says, the places I used to go, I don't go no more. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. The people I used to hang with, I don't hang with them anymore. Something happens when you come in contact and you begin to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It changes your association.
That's right.
It changes me back into what God delivered me from.
Right. Exactly.
Amen. Amen. Right. And I ain't going down to try to get one of them saved.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, you know, you used to hang on the corner. Glory to God. God delivered you from that corner. But you say, I'm going out here to witness to the boys to try to get them saved. Right. Who came down there to witness to you?
Right.
That's a setup from the enemy.
Right.
To get you right back up into that thing. Uh-huh. Like the young lady that got delivered from dancing.
Come on, Kyle. Right?
Yeah. She got delivered from dancing, and she knew God had set her free. Right? And see, the dance happened on Friday night, and church happened on Friday night. The girl even had a Bible in her hand. And she passed by the dance on the way to church. And she heard just one of the old tunes. Come on, glory to God. I mean, we live in a day now where when you go into a restaurant, you hear all the tunes. You hear the tunes from every generation. My mama hear the tunes from her generation. I hear the tunes from my generation. My kids hear the tunes from their generation. Right? I mean, it's a conglomeration of sin.
Yeah.
But here the girl was passing by, she said, you know what? That song, that used to be my jam. That's why you gotta watch what you say. Come on, church. That used to be my jam. Sometimes don't release stuff like that out of your mouth. Before you know it, you start going down the wrong memory lane. She took it off and she said, I'm gonna just go in and see how everybody doing. And she walks in and she see this one doing that and that one doing that. Like, yeah, I used to do that. And before you know it, she saw a dance partner that they used to come in first place all the time. He out there like, you know, it ain't gonna hurt. Let me just went out there and before you know it, that girl was out there juking. What God delivered from, she is right back out there doing. Let me tell you something. Oh, glory to God. If the grace of God don't keep you, that fools will come out of you again.
That's right. Amen.
Them same old moves you got delivered from, they'll come out of you again. That's why you got to even watch the spirit that comes in the church with some of the music. Because it reproduces that stuff again.
That's right.
Hallelujah, church. Like, I've been delivered for a number of years here preaching the gospel, but you're getting around some break dancers. It's just not coming out. That's that sin nature that has to be conquered by the grace of God. Conviction hit her. She said, oh Lord, I'd have danced away church time. Church was over. The prophet was home.
Yeah.
She ran to the house and said, Brother Bradham, I'm sorry. I should have been in church. Oh Lord, ain't that something right there?
Come on, right there.
We don't hear from people now. They just miss church and don't say nothing. They sent a text. Said something. But this girl said she missed church. She had a little conviction. She ran to the prophet's house. So say, I'm sorry, Brother Brad. I missed church tonight. And you know, I should have been there. You know what happened? So, well, what happened, sis? Well, I passing by the dance and I thought I'd just swing in there and you know, and thank you, brother. I thought I'd just swing in there and before you know it, I was out there dancing I'm sorry, Brother Brad. Say, well, let's pray. And at that same time, there was a drunk man in the house. Hallelujah. This guy drunk as I don't know what. So Brother Branham said, let's pray. And that drunk man was in the room and laying down. And Brother Branham was praying to the young lady outside and in the living room. And all of a sudden, a spirit came out of that girl. She don't even know how it came in. She never saw it come in. It came in through music.
Yeah.
Through a little dance. And that spirit came in and said, the spirit came up out of that girl and went straight to the room where the drunk man was.
Right, right.
Now I'm going to tell you, he might have been drunk, but he wasn't that drunk. Because even a drunk man could identify that the atmosphere had changed in this room. Now that spirit was looking for somewhere to go. And that man, he was open to that spirit. Because he's under the influence. So here the man jumped up so quick, ran out the house. I don't know. The little spirit went running, you know, coming in this room. It looked like a bat.
Right.
And this girl got it because of what she fell back into. See, this is why we want to be careful. And this is why Paul can say this. In whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh. Verse 3, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
Yes.
Oh my God, my God, my God. Yeah, that was my testimony.
Yeah, Lord.
Glory to God.
Amen.
But this is the next verse.
Yes.
But God.
Amen.
But God. You got that t-shirt, my Lord created that. But God. See, I can tell you my testimony. It was this way, but God delivered me. God set me free. Yeah, Adam and Eve should have been cut off in the beginning, but God! It was nothing that Adam did, nothing that Eve did, but God! But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Not because you did something, not because you grew up in the church. No, by grace, you are saved. And now raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. I just love the scripture. And I don't have to sit in my memories. I don't have to sit in my failures and in my falter and my mistakes. It's just where he placed me.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
Verse 7 says that in the ages to come, the reason he did this, the reason he showed me grace, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. I'm a trophy of God's grace.
Yes.
You are a trophy of God's grace.
Yes.
Exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. And I love that. Paul repeated it twice. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. Nothing you did. Nothing I did.
Right.
It is the gift of God.
Amen.
How God going to give you a free gift and you're going to withhold it from others? Like you did something to get the gift. And then you tell other people ain't no grace for them. One guy was teaching out there about this vaccine being the mark of the beast, and he said, you know, if you took the jab, that's what he called it, took the jab, just pray. Because you know, I don't know. Like, ain't no grace for nobody. You just want to say, you stop teaching. You just stop teaching. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, it's not even of works. But I tell you, grace will produce works.
Yeah.
Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship.
That's right.
Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I thank God for this grace. I was thinking on this. Grace is what saved Noah and his family.
Yes.
The grace of God that came down and revealed the will of God and what was getting ready to happen with this great flood. And grace is what saved Noah and his family. Not that Noah did anything. You can tell Noah still had sin nature in him. Even after he come through a flood.
Yes.
What's the first thing he do? when you get on the other side. The man should be thanking God. And I think he did set up an altar or something like that. But after he finished setting up his altar, you know how we do after we go to church, then we go get involved in something.
Yeah, that's true.
I did my due diligence just by showing up to church. Now I would go out here. No, God don't want that type of life. God wants 24/7 service.
Amen.
Amen. But Noah got drunk after coming through, you know, this great flood. After he goes and gets drunk, the man should have just been thanking God that he made it through. And his family, they the only human beings on the earth. And he gonna get drunk. It was grace that saved him and his family. And I want to say this, is grace saved Noah and his family. Grace gonna save me and my family. Grace gonna save you and your family. Oh, I feel Jesus in this place. Oh, there was a scripture that I had, and I meant to read. I think I am gonna read it. I think it's 2 Corinthians. Somebody might have to help me with this one. Well, Paul said, as such were some of you.
All right. First Corinthians 6.
Thank you. I just read and I didn't write it down. I thought about it and I knew that this could happen to me. I knew that this could happen. That this scripture was going to come back and hear the Holy Spirit. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Grace saved Noah and his family. My God. Grace did. Grace saved me and my family. Grace saved you and your family.
Amen.
Grace is what is allowing Paul to write this scripture the way he's writing it. Now let's look at this. Lord Jesus, just let the Lord have his way. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That means you ain't going to heaven any way you want to live. You can't do it that way. You have to come God's way. Look, it says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, people having sex without being married. Right? You're not going to heaven like that. Right? Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, amen, right? Nor effeminate. Now, I want you to understand let's talk about inheriting the kingdom of God. Effeminate is a person that's practicing homosexuality. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to just get ahead of myself. Because it's not that, we're going to read the rest of this. Paul going to actually make a statement that says, but such were some of you. And what I got from that is that God can deliver a person that's in homosexuality. God can deliver an adulterer. God can deliver a fornicator. But such were some of you. So there's still hope for anybody out there. Recently, I got a friend of mine's daughter had, you know, taken an alternative lifestyle, and the daughter, the Lord started dealing with her heart, her and her partner. Both of them got their hearts dealt with. God started dealing with them, and they were trying to figure out some things, and they asked this minister to baptize them. I mean, the partners asked the minister to baptize them. I'm like, okay, I'm not sure about this. I'll do it, but before I do it, I need to sit down and talk to you.
Yes.
So they, you know, sat down and just explained what baptism was all about. You know, it's about that old man being buried in the Lord and rising to the newness of life, walking according to the word of God. So the minister just began to talk and say, you know, this love that y'all have for each other is a perverted love.
Right.
It's a perverted love that you have for each other, and that's not the love that God wants you to have.
Right.
And saying what God has to do is he has to take that love from you. So you go, as you go through this process of baptism, you're going to start feeling God take that love, that desire. He's going to start taking that from you. And the partner says, just start broke down in tears. So you know, God already started that process. We don't do the things we used to do. See, this is when God is doing something. That is changing. You don't live the same when you come in contact with grace. And grace is a person.
Amen.
His name is Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Oh God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But here what Paul says, that some of you were effeminate. That means that there were some people practicing those lifestyles, but were delivered.
Right.
So if you got a loved one that's in that condition, they can be delivered.
Amen. Yeah.
Let me keep reading. Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves. Let me stop there. Because I was looking at this, and in your mind, you think somebody is stealing, you know, and God, thieves ain't going to make it to heaven. But when you look at it, and this particular verse is not just talking about somebody stealing. It's actually talking about somebody in the pulpit that's actually abusing the people and taking advantage of the people, right? Abusing their power.
My Lord.
They're stealing from the people.
My Lord.
Yeah.
If you just click on that word in the Greek dictionary, you'll find it's talking about somebody that's in the pulpit actually stealing. Stealing with the abuse of their power over the people. And there are many churches out there. I mean, you know, they rule the people in fear.
Right. Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, you know, if a person decides that they don't want to come to the church in the morning, the first thing they say, they went out from us because they were not of us. They abuse it, and then they make everybody afraid to leave the church.
My Lord.
Hallelujah. You don't want to be called out when you leave. Oh my God. Right? Amen. See, this is an abuse of power. Who God has ordained to be there in the church, they're going to be there. And sometimes folk may come for a season and may have to leave for another season, but may come back for another season. You just keep showing the love of God. But when we look at thieves in this verse, we're talking about people standing behind the pulpit abusing the people. And you know, a thief won't get in.
Right.
Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. And I'm just, you know, I'm laying all this out because I'm going to say this while I got a chance to say it. We're going to need help with all that we're doing here.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for some brothers to rise up and help. I need that. We're going to need the help. But I can't use you if you ain't living right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
I can't use you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? I mean, we got to have a standard.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to people singing in the church, we only want people that's got a life. I'm not talking about you making a mistake here and there. All of us go through things like that. But I'm talking about you living ungodly. And you know you live in ungodly. You're going to leave here and then go pull up, get a cigarette. As soon as you get out, no. Or you're going to go get a drink. No. You want to know, brother, the most potent thing I drink? Soda. Praise the Lord. But now, this what, and here the scripture is telling no covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers. And say, well, I don't drink to get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
You probably don't even know if you're drunk.
Right.
And your body got so used to drinking.
Yeah.
It's the truth in the eye. You can absorb a lot now.
Right.
Somehow you got down that path.
Right.
But the grace of God won't stop that.
Amen.
Amen.
It's the truth in the eye.
Amen.
God will take that from you.
Amen.
Amen. Nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And this is the verse 11. And such were some of you. But ye are washed.
Amen.
But ye are sanctified.
Amen.
And here's another one. Ye are Justified. You know what that means? Just as if I never did. What did that for you? The grace of God did that for you. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I don't want any of those influences in my life to bring me underneath the power of it. I want to be free from that. I thank God for it. It was grace that saved Noah and his family. And I just wanted to inject, even if you got family members that's tied up in some of these scriptures, grace will step in and deliver them as well. I don't care what they're tied up in. Amen. I don't care what they're tied up in. Grace can deliver.
Yes.
Grace is what saved Abraham and his seed.
You
see, when Abraham got down there with Abimelech and gave his wife over to Abimelech and had no sense of doing anything, he shouldn't have done nothing like that. But when he gave his wife over and told a lie that this is my sister, the man getting ready to take this woman, make it his wife, he was thinking about having children from her. Both of them lied. Abraham and Sarah lied. But God gave a dream to Abimelech and said, don't touch that man. Don't touch his wife. He said, I thought that they both said it was a sister. So he said, no, I know what he said, but I don't touch him. And I want you to go and have him pray for you because he's my prophet. God didn't even call him a liar. God called him his prophet.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I want to tell you it's because God was looking through the eyes of grace.
Yeah.
How does he see you this morning?
Right.
How does he see me this morning?
Yeah.
When he looks through the eyes of grace, he sees me as a son. He sees you as a daughter of God.
Amen.
Thought about this a little bit more. Christ was the living word when he walked on the earth. And we have the scripture of the woman that was caught in adultery there in John chapter 8. And I won't take time to read all of that. Maybe we can catch a little bit. John 8, verse 1. Oh, hallelujah. He was the living word at this time. He was the manifested word of God. Hey, glory. And see, she had to accept grace through the living word.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Here, you know, verse 1 of John 8 says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. Can you imagine this? This is an interruption of the service. This is an interruption. All the people gathered want to hear Jesus preach. And here the scribes and Pharisees, these are religious leaders, they interrupt the service. And they said, brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, just imagine them just dragging her through the door and just sitting right now here. All eyes are on her. Imagine you being that woman. And all the eyes are on you right there in Jesus' presence. And here, you know, they say, now Moses in the law, they take him to the word. Oh, my God. Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Look at it now. And notice now, and the Bible's just kind of giving us, amen, some inside information, discernment of spirit. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Ignoring everything they were saying. Ignoring the entire situation that is before. But look at this. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at him. What wisdom. Mm-hmm. Verse 8 says, and again he stooped down and rolled on the ground. And they which heard it, amen, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even until, amen, the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. I just love this. Mm-hmm. See, what you just saw happen here was grace entered into this lady's situation.
Yes.
She was an adulterer, and she should have died. But grace stepped in.
Yes.
Amen.
And see, there are some things that we have done we should have died for.
Amen.
But grace has stepped in.
Amen.
Verse 10 says, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none for the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those that accuse us? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go. And she said, no more. Now, what he says, I'm not excusing you from what you just did.
Right.
See, grace don't come in to wash and then allow you to go right back out and keep doing the same old thing all over again. No, grace wants you to stop what you was doing. When you come in contact with grace, because grace is a person. This lady came in contact with the person of grace. His name is Jesus. I can guarantee you this much. Had she gone out and kept sinning, it would have been a different story. See, don't make grace a disgrace. Oh, I just love the Lord. Can I go a little further? You know, as I thought just on this woman here, you know, in John 8, I also thought about the woman in Luke 7. I won't read her story, but, you know, she's the woman that was not invited to the party. And as she come to the party, amen, she saw Jesus sitting there with unwashed feet, with dirty feet. And as she saw Jesus sitting across the aisle, she said, I can't believe that nobody washed his feet. I can't believe they let them sit there unattended to. And she went and got all of her earnings from living this ungodly lifestyle. And she went and bought a perfume. Glory to God. And when she used all the money to buy this perfume, then she somehow snuck into the party. And when she got to the party, Jesus just so happened to be sitting in a position where she could break a box. Glory to God, pour her perfume out on his feet and begin to wash those feet with her tears. Glory to God. And the Bible, she didn't have a towel like the foot wash flunky would have a towel. All she could use to dry his feet was her hair. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. I want you to know that when that woman did all of that, she didn't realize that grace was about to step in her situation.
Yes.
So sometimes we get to a place where can't nobody else help us.
Right.
But grace. Grace has to be accepted in the living words. I want to read a couple things here. And we'll turn this corner and we'll go on from there. Brother Branham, when he preached the marriage and divorce, and I was telling you all on Wednesday night that there was a 5 sermons that Brother Branham preached. And I don't remember them all, but I know marriage and divorce was one, and who is this Melchizedek was another. But they went to a middle school in Jeffersonville, and he preached that series of 5 sermons. So, you know, Brother Branham went to a middle school and preached, and there was purpose for him being at the middle school. I thought it was quite special for us to come to a middle school. Somebody said, y'all should have went to the high school. No, we came to the middle school.
Yeah.
Amen. And like I said on Wednesday, it's the designer's room just for us. Storage, nursery, office, chairs, everything is designed for this season.
Yes.
For us.
Yes.
Amen. I know God loves me. I know that.
Yes.
I told the church on Wednesday night that I never wanted to actually go to a school to have to do the setup and breakdown. Mm-hmm. But you know, no, they told us that nobody has used this room for the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. So that means we really don't have to break down that much. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to also just mention to you that as soon as I said that on Wednesday, somebody came on Thursday, I'm going to start using the room. Ain't got no students, but just going to use the room. Now, who y'all think that is? But let's just show some grace. But in marriage and divorce, when Brother Branham preached it, there is a law element of marriage and divorce that is so strict that if it's not handled correctly, we have no preachers.
Yeah.
It's the truth in and out.
Amen.
When you really look at the scripture now, we'll have no preachers. Because if a preacher loses his hair, he's not supposed to preach. I'm just telling you according to the scripture, right? So Brother Branham, you know, comes and he brings this truth to us to get us back to the Word. We have to stand with the Word, stay solidly with the Word. Hallelujah. But at the end of marriage and divorce, there was a grace element that came into marriage and divorce, and most people missed the grace part. They caught the law part, but they missed the grace. See, here this story of the woman that they brought to Jesus, they had the law. Moses in the law saved.
Right.
Oh, good God Almighty. But grace was standing in the form of a person. And what that woman did, she walked in the revelation of grace that came to her. She accepted the perfect grace that came through Jesus. Because the other people wanted a stone. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to accept the perfect grace of the living Word. Brother Randall brought a living Word.
Yeah.
Even in marriage and divorce, he brought a living Word. And people have to be able to accept the parting grace that is in the living Word.
Yeah.
Now, that don't mean everybody just do whatever they want to do. I ain't saying that. Hallelujah. I ain't saying that. Right? Amen. There's still some things we got to work through in Scripture. Glory to God. But I am saying there is a grace element. It's not all law. There is a grace element. There.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's look at this. Brother Branham got accused of by a woman preacher because of the grace that he brought in marriage and divorce. And this is out of the Message in his Rising of the Sun. And it says, as in the marriage and divorce case, as in the marriage and divorce case the other day, when the Holy Spirit had told me that, I come and said just what he told me. And then what happened, he was in the mountain praying, and the Spirit of God just going up and down the mountain and told him, go tell the people that they're caught in this condition because of misinterpreted theology.
Yeah.
He says, go and don't teach your children never to do nothing like that. He said, I'm going to let you stay in the conditions you are. Misinterpreted theology caused the people to get in the conditions. Grace came now and said, I'm going to let you stay the way that you are. But don't teach your children never to do nothing like this.
Right.
So Brother Branham said that based on a supernatural experience from the angel of God. Look at this. It says, I had a marriage divorce case the other day when the Holy Spirit told me that I come and said it just the way he told me. Some minister lady gave me a right, sharp, little, bawling owl. First of all, minister lady don't sound right.
Yeah.
But she had to correct the prophet. She said, I guess you take the place of God. I said, no, ma'am. Said, well, you told them their sin is forgiven. Said, only God has power. He said, see, another Pharisee. I said, you see, that you might know. Just to try to put her back in the scripture. That you might know that Jesus told Peter and the apostles after he had the revelation of who he was, he told them, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. He said, blessed art thou, see, son of Jonas, flesh and blood, never revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed it. Upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell can't prevail against it. And I give unto thee the keys. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. What you loose on earth. And it just left it right there for them. What you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. Pretty much the church had the power to bind and loose.
Yes.
That was Matthew 16 that he was quoting. Let me see. It says, that's the divine revelation of the Word made flesh. If it was flesh in that day by the Son, Jesus met this woman, a man that was accused of adultery, and he forgives us. It was the Word was made flesh in Jesus.
Right.
We got to bring it forward now. We got to bring it forward. I'm turning the corner, but you got to stay with me because the Word is still made flesh. I ain't got the quote with me, but I can tell you right now, Brother Branham said the Word that was made flesh in Christ has now become our flesh.
Yes. All right. Yeah.
Woo! Glory to God.
Amen.
Since that's the divine revelation of the Word made flesh, if it was flesh in that day by the Son, the groom is flesh today by the bride. See, whosoever sins you remit, to them they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, to them they are retained. Now the Catholic Church picked that up and takes it to their priest, but that's carnal. Watch, it was the spiritual revealed word that did it. That's the reason he told them to go baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They knew who he was. The spiritual revealed word is what's providing grace. I want to say that again. It's the spiritual revealed word that's providing grace. And you have to be able to accept the pardon grace of the living word. Now, let me just switch back over. Oh my. To Revelation 6.
Bear with me. We read verse 9 through 11.
Ooh, Jesus. We read Revelation 6, verse 9 through 11. We're talking about the fish seal. Just quick highlight when we're looking at the seals, especially when we get to the fifth seal, the church ages are now over. The first four seals actually deal with all seven church ages. The first four seals have included all seven church ages. If after the church ages are over, God's no longer dealing with the Gentile people, now he begins to deal with the Jews. And this is where we pick up the Jews, that their time is coming here in Revelation 6, verse 9 through 11. So a lot of times when we read the book of Revelation, this is why it's so important. It's one thing to read your Bible. Nothing wrong with that. I think that's great. I read my Bible. I've been reading it for over 20 years. I've been on a Bible reading plan every year, and I've read the Bible through and through over 20 years. The problem is that you'll run into things in reading your Bible. You'll run into things that you cannot understand.
Right.
And you're going to need somebody to give you some instruction. So most people, they start going to Google. And they'll look here, they'll look there. And like this, you know, this lady, my daughter, sent over a little link to us and listened to this man teaching on the seal. I'm like, this man's so far off. He said Donald Trump was the Antichrist. I said, I don't believe that. And you know, and you say, if it's not Donald Trump, it's probably Donald Trump Jr. He don't know who it is. And then he said, if it's not them two, I got somebody else, but I'm just not saying it yet. We're not following nothing like that. We want to know what says the Lord. Don't give me none of that. It could be this and it could not. I don't want none of that. I got thus saith the Lord through a prophet.
Yeah.
Right? So when you come to try to understand scripture, you have to take some source. I choose to take a vindicated prophet as my source.
Amen.
Man, so when I'm reading to you out of Revelation, I can go back to what a prophet said and give you what it is. And I can show you that there's things that's already happened, there's things happening now, and there's things that will happen in the future. And when you read the Bible, I mean, especially when you read the book of Revelation, let me just drop this in. It is not like reading any other normal book.
Amen.
Revelation 6 does not come after Revelation 4. Revelation 5. It don't come after. In your Bible, it do.
Right.
But the events surrounding it don't come after it like that.
All right.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Amen. You gotta be, it's a puzzle. And you gotta pick this piece up and pick this piece up and pick that piece and put it all together in order to get the puzzle right. That's why it's written mysteriously like that.
Right.
And it takes a prophet to reveal what is there.
Because
if you try to put it all linear, you'll be all lost. Like this man. I ain't gonna call his name. We pray for the brother. That's all I can say. But I want to just show. If I was to go back and read it, because we picked up with the fish seal, but there was four other seals before that. All of those four seals deal with the church ages.
Right.
It deals with us. And let me tell you, we are in Laodicea, but we're not Laodiceans.
Right. Yeah.
We are the bride living in Laodicea. But this church age is not open. It won't be open until we leave. All right? Let me go a little further. All right. Oh, God. Help us here. I'm winding up. So when we're looking at the seal, especially this fifth seal, we're looking at, amen, this is not the bride. This is the Jews that God is dealing with at this time. Amen. This is the Jews. There's many reasons why we can see this, and I'm trying not to get too deep into this, but I'll just say, when the first four seals, there was a beast that rose up and said, come and see.
Right.
But when we got to the fifth seal, there was no beast that rose up and said, come and see. What those beasts were actually the cherubim. My God. Hallelujah. The cherubim is what's, when Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, the cherubim blocked their entrance from coming back into it. But in this hour, the cherubim are pointing the way through the revealed word. Come and see. Hallelujah. So you have to be able to accept pardoning grace as it's coming through the living word. Watch this now. Let's go on a little further. Here we see this heavenly scene. These souls under the altar are Jews that were killed for the word of God and for the testimony they held. And Brother Branham said they were, you know, when the Jews rejected Christ at the cross and said, let his blood be on us and upon our children, they had self-fulfilling prophecy. Years later, underneath Stalin, underneath Eichmann, underneath Hitler, their children suffered simply because they were Jewish believers. They were slain for the word of God and the testimony which they held. Pull up verse 9, Revelation 6, 9. I'm just referring to this. I'm giving you an overview. And I know it, but homie, don't worry. You have something you can go back and feast on, and when you're listening to the seals, it'll make sense to you. Glory to God. Amen. And verse 10 says, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on earth? So here they're looking to get revenge for all the suffering that was done, right? And but here the Bible says, and white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season unto their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, I want to just kind of inject just a couple things. White robes were given unto them. These were Jews that went through the tribulation period. They received their white robes on the other side of the tribulation period.
Right.
But I want you to know something, that we as the bride already had our white robes. Oh, glory. And the way that we got our white robes, I'm going to read it for you in a second. The way that we got our white robes is because we accepted the pardoning grace that came through the living word. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Now watch this. Let's just read a couple things here. I'll show it to you. Amen. I'm reading from the fifth seal. I want you to understand that when the Jews said, let his blood be on us and on our children, when they rejected Christ at the cross, grace was coming in at that time for the Gentiles.
Amen.
The reason you're here today is because God blinded the eyes of those Jews so they could not recognize him as Savior, as Messiah. The reason you sit in church today is because of what God to the Jews. That was what God allowed to happen to the Jews. That was God's grace coming to the Gentiles. Don't make grace a disgrace. I want to read something out of the fifth seal. This says, notice now, I want you to watch this real close. They were given robes. That's what we just read. They were given robes. It says, they were given robes. They didn't have them. They were given robes. It says, they didn't have them. They were given robes, white robes, each one of them. He says, now the saints already have one. Us. We already have one. Now the saints already have one. He says, they get it here. But here, they were given robes. And the saints already had theirs and gone on. That means they was raptured away. It says, Steve, gone on, see, and had not seen. They had not a chance because they were blinded by God, their own Father, so that the grace of God could be fulfilled, so the bride could be took away from the Gentiles. Is that right? By grace are ye saved. I'm going to go a little further. By grace you have been introduced to a message.
Amen.
This ain't got nothing to do with you. You can be that good.
Amen.
But by grace you've been brought to a message. The revealed word for this day. By grace. Think about the plaza that we was in and all the churches that was in that plaza. But by grace we were there with the revelation that we had. When we come into the school, it's by grace that we're still walking underneath the revealed word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
I've accepted the pardoning grace.
Yes.
Through the revealed word. I'm finished with that quote. Let's see what paragraph. Okay, 229. I'm going in the same sermon. I'm going down to paragraph 432. It might be a little off. Might be 431 for you, or 433. I'm not sure, but you'll find it in the 430 area. Brother Branham said the saints get theirs here. So what had happened as the Holy Spirit was opening up this revelation of the fifth seal to the prophet, just showing him what it was all about. And every day, supernaturally, an angel of God would come in and reveal to him what the seal meant. Every day, right? So there's many that picked up their Bible, read it, I'm back to this guy again. I can't get away from him. Get in my spirit. Sometimes you can't listen to stuff. Get in your spirit. This man said, in the first seal, the rider took his bow and shot an arrow. He said, that was the coronavirus. The vaccine. He said, that was the vaccine. His arrow was the vaccine. When you read the Bible, my brother,
right.
he had a bow.
No.
But he don't have arrows.
Yeah.
This is what the prophet taught us.
Yeah.
He has a bow but no arrow, so that is not the vaccine. That's not the rider in the seal there. That's not it. And they try to be so deep. And people so confused. But we got a prophet. We got a revealed word. We ain't got to be confused about none of this.
Right.
Not afraid of any of it.
Amen.
A vaccine is very, very common.
Yeah.
I don't know when did it become so uncommon.
Yeah.
I've traveled overseas many times and had to take a vaccine.
Yeah.
I got no problem with that. Amen. It's a choice. Everybody, I'm not going to take nobody's choice from them.
Yeah.
You got a choice. You got four choices.
Mm-hmm.
You got Moderna. You got Pfizer. You got Johnson & Johnson. Or you can choose not to do it. It's your choice.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And I ain't going to let none of that stuff divide a church.
That's right.
Amen.
Don't look down on nobody because they didn't get the one you got.
Right.
Or they didn't get it at all. Don't do that. Don't let the devil get in like that.
Amen.
You made your decision, let them make their decision.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. They choose not to do it, that's fine.
Right.
Praise God. God still protect us all. It's the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. But Brother Branham, as the angel Lord was revealing these things to him, I'm coming too close. The angel showed him that this group in Revelation 6, the fifth seal, says this was juice, because there was many Bible teachers that thought it was the bride. He said, no, it's not the bride. They had already left. They left after the fourth seal. Right? They left after the seven church angels was over. They left. They went into a rapture. But now God is dealing with the Jews. When we look at this from the fifth seal, sixth seal, we're looking at God dealing with the Jews. Now, while he was meditating on that, God showed him a little vision, took him back in his mind and showed him a vision. And he says, and this is why I make the statement, they already got theirs, they got it here. That's why I said it. Say the church, the bride, they got it here. They didn't have to get a robe. Here in this verse, verse 10, say they received a robe. I believe it was in verse 10. Is that right? Verse 11. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. So they were given robes during the tribulation period. My God. But here the bride had already received their robes, their white robes. And Brother Branham said, the angel of the Lord just kind of showed and said, now that was for the Jews, but my people already had them. God took them to a vision. And in the vision, he was in heaven. And this is where he met his little daughter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. She died as a baby.
Yeah.
And there she was 20 years old, and she walked up and said, God bless you, Daddy. Say, Daddy? Say, yeah, I'm your Sharon Rose that was on earth with, you know, and you lost me a little bit. I'm your Sharon. Say, oh my. She say, here in heaven, ain't no little babies up here, Daddy. Ain't no little baby. Say, and then his wife came up to him. God bless you, my brother. All these saints came up to him. God bless you, my brother. And all the saints was dressed in white robes. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Amen. All the saints were dressed in white robes, and they began to have a little conversation with the angel. Say, I want to see Jesus. He said, now you can't see him. He's a little bit higher. Another dimension that he was in. You can't get him, but he will come to you one day. He will judge you for the things that you preach. He says, it's Paul here. He said, yeah, Paul is here. Are the people that Paul preached to, are they here? Yes, they're here. Will Paul have to be judged what he preached? Yes, Paul will have to be judged what he preached. He said, I preach the same thing that Paul preached. Yeah. And he said, millions screamed out. We're resting on that. Enough to believe that I'm one of the millions.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was saying we're resting on that. I'm so happy you preach the same thing Paul preached.
Yeah.
Because I come from God and I'm going to make it back to God on this revealed word.
Yeah.
Look at this. In this message, the fifth seal, this is where the angel just began to, after showing him all this thing, this way he makes the statement. He says, now notice, but I was just thinking as this precious godly brother John, I just thought it'd be a good place to inject that just before closing. See, if John looked over there and then was of his brethren, see his brethren that had to suffer a little, then see the Lord God permitted me. So John in the book of Revelation is looking at his brother. John is caught up in the Isle of Patmos looking at this vision unfold for a future event. It says God allowed John to see his brother. Now look at what Brother Graham said. God also allows me to see. He permitted me to see my brother and the saints that were waiting for the coming of the Lord. Notice they were not under the altar of sacrifice. Mine wasn't. But these was, they were martyrs. See, mine wasn't under the martyr's altar. Now I want you to listen real close, and I'll close honest. Just about in 10 minutes, at 10 o'clock, says, if I just have to cut it off and finish it tomorrow, look, they were not, the ones that the Lord showed me, the bride, she was not under the martyr's block. She's not identified here in Revelation 6, verse 9 through 11, fifth seal. She's not identified there. See, she was not under the martyr's block. No, the sacrifice altar of the martyrs. Look at what he says. But had received white robes by accepting the pardoning Amen. Grace Amen. Of the living
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
She got a white robe yes. because she was able to accept the pardoning grace of the living Word. And it just came to me. I didn't think about this till right now. Adam and Eve got a white covering, lamb skin. Because they accepted the grace of the living Word.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You want to make a rapture? Accept the grace of this living Word.
Amen.
Amen.
Had received white robes by accepting the pardon and grace of the living Word, Christ had given them a white robe. I want to finish with a quote out of the Message of Grace. This just meant so much to me as I looked at this. It's grace. But don't, like I said, don't make grace a disgrace. God has given us a special message in this hour, a special word that He's given us, and this is not something to be just trampled on.
Right. Amen.
If I could just put it this way, God gave you His best.
Amen.
When He brought to you the full revelation. You know, in Abraham's day, Abraham was the one that received the full revelation of what was getting ready to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you things that are going to happen to the Jews. We got the full revelation. Right now, what I just shared with you, Brother Branham brought the full revelation of what was going to happen. We're standing as Abraham's seed with the full revelation of what's going to happen. No, we don't have to worry about being here, but if you want to miss it, you got to accept the pardoning grace that comes through the living word.
Amen.
There's a story. This you can try to search it like this. Grace was promised in the Garden of Eden, and grace came. Just look for that, and then I'm going to be at the message of grace. There's a story of a young man that was in a cell, and his friend thought he was wrongly accused and should not have been in jail for what he did. And he went running to the president. So, and just for the man to be able to get audience with the president was a miracle. He got running to the president, explained the story to the president. The president didn't have time to get his letterhead. He just took his signature, signed on the paper, and said, "Pardon." So the friend was so excited. I got a word from the president. My friend can get out of jail today, boy. I'm running and ran to the jail as soon as I could. So I got told to the jailer, "I got something signed from the president. My friend can be pardoned." So he went to the friend in the cell and was like, "Look, I got something signed from the president. You can be pardoned. You ain't got to worry about this. You got to go free." Friend looked at the little sheet of paper. Didn't see no letter yet from the president. They say, "This ain't from the president. Why you come mess with me at a time like this? Man, you know I'm getting ready to die. Why don't you mess with me like that?" It took him out, executed. And the president found out about why they execute that guy after I signed the pardon. Why'd they do that? And they had to come up with a new statement.
Yeah.
They said a pardon is not a pardon unless it's received.
My Lord.
And I'm telling you, I'm walking in the grace. I've accepted the pardon and grace that has come to me in the living world.
Yes.
Just like that woman that was accused of adultery. She did it. But when she came in contact with grace, she didn't really do it no more.
Amen.
Look at this last quote. The grace was promised in the Garden of Eden, and grace came. Grace to Adam and Eve. Nowhere to go, no which way to turn, and yet grace made away. Hallelujah. He says, "Let me say this, my sinner friend. You may be here this morning a prostitute. You may be here this morning a woman chaser. You may be here a drunkard or a gambler or a murderer. You might be here as an impure husband." All those things I read in 1 Corinthians 6. "An impure wife. You might be the vilest of sinners." You say, "I'm a past that stage of redemption." No, you're not. You wouldn't be at the church this morning. Grace will make a way for you in this dark hour if you just accept it. Adam had to be willing to accept it. So do you. Accept it. Accepting the pardon of grace of the living word. God bless you. As the musicians come, let's just have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, how we appreciate your grace. It's been given to us in so many ways. Think about those times that we've had
encounters with death, car accidents, or maybe in places that we shouldn't have been, but grace protected us. Grace kept us. Think about, Lord, just needing a Savior because of how much sin we found ourselves in, and how grace stepped in and made the difference. God, even when it comes to this revealed word that we have an opportunity to fellowship around, it's not that we're any different from anybody else. It's simply grace. Father, I never want to take it lightly. I never want to take it for granted. I want to express my appreciation to you, God. My gratitude because it was given to me. And I realize, Lord, that anybody else, think about the people I grew up with, the neighborhood that I'm from, and Lord, the people I went to school with, but yet, God, you would choose me out of all those people to show me these truths. It's simply grace. For by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves, but it's a gift of God. Thank you for the gift of grace. I pray, Lord, today that if one is heard here present, as well as those that are listening online, God, if they have not walked in the or accepted this part of the grace that has come to us through the living word, I pray, God, that they would come to that spot where they can yield, they can repent, confess their sins to you, Father, and acknowledge that they need this grace. Can't make it without it. May the living person of grace, Lord, make himself real to each and every one of us, Father. I pray just like you made yourself real to that woman that was caught in adultery. We've been caught in sin. We have things that we're not proud of, God. We thank you, Lord God. Your grace has stepped in. We praise you for it. Hallelujah. It's in Jesus' name. share
what the Lord has shared and gave me. He's preaching on this grace. And he made mention of the vaccine, how people are trying to avoid the mark of the beast. So they're running, instead of, see, sometimes your focus can be wrong. A good offense is a good defense. Or should I say, a good defense is a good offense. Okay? So don't focus on avoiding the mark. Because see, if you focus on the seal of God, which is the grace, then you won't have to worry about the mark. See? Adjust your focus. Don't focus on what the devil is doing. Focus on what God is doing. So he preached on the fifth, took this message of grace and talked about it from the fifth seal. And in Revelation 9 it says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and it was to him that was off to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun, and the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And it came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given the power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now I preached a while ago about this locust that the prophet had told me, that how the leaves of the trees are the fellowship of the saints, and how people churches are being divided because of this vaccine and all of these different things. And I just appreciate how he brought that out about I love it to divide a church. See, that's what the devil is trying to do. He's trying to divide and conquer. Amen. Now I want to go on. I want to say here, and it came out of the locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given the power, and as the scorpions of the earth have power. And the fourth verse, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. That's Revelation 9:4. What's today's date? September 4th? 5th, I'm sorry. Today's the 5th? September 5th. Amen. So, I believe there's some relevance to it. Amen. I believe there's some relevance to it. And to them, it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment of the torment of scorpions when they striketh a man. So my whole point, I thought it was the fourth. I'm sorry. That just took my whole thing away. But what I'm saying, don't focus on the mark of the beast. Focus on the seal of God. Because truly, I believe it was the grace in the whole matter. The grace in the thing is the only way to have that seal of God is by receiving the grace that God has given us in this hour. And it just touched my heart when he said, what is that grace? Now we have grace when he saved me from sin. When he took marijuana away from me. When he saved me from the accident. But the greatest thing was when he revealed this message. And gave me something. You know, I didn't choose to just believe. What was it about me that I believed? So many people struggle to believe this message. Struggle to believe it. It was hard for me to believe it. So there was something on the inside. There was a deep calling out. Something made a connection. Something made a connection in my heart to what was happening, that made it relevant, that made it live.
It was real. It was right now. It wasn't. It gave the Bible relevance into my life and into the to today. It no longer was a book of history, but it was a book of right now. Amen. You love the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all pray for me. Amen.
Amen.
I was over at the wedding with my son, and there was a relevance to the date of his wedding, and the Lord just gave me a scripture relevant to that date, and amen. And I said, Lord, you're doing this again? Amen. So, but I believe that's still
amen.
Amen. Amen. So let us pray. Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you. Amen. Amen. Only you could prepare my heart, could prepare our hearts to receive. Amen. The word. Amen. That you would. We could receive such a message, Lord God. It was nothing that we did. We're no smarter than anybody else. We're not better, but we were just chosen. And Lord, that you would give us this grace, oh Father God, and we receive it, oh Father. Lord God, we have compassion for those, Lord God, that seem to don't understand and can't seem to find that resting place. Lord God, is still lost, oh Father God, and can't seem to connect the dots, oh Father. But Lord, let us not make grace a disgrace in this hour. Let us run with God till so much is given, much is required. Let us meet the challenge of today, Lord God. Let us live a life, oh Father God, worthy of the gospel, oh God. Let us walk, Lord God, worthy of this grace, oh Father God. Lord God, bless us, oh Father God, now as we prepare to leave this place, oh Lord. Give us traveling mercy along the dangerous highways, oh Father God. Give each and every one of us a blessed week, Lord God. May we keep our minds and our hearts stayed on you, oh Lord God. Lord God, forever mindful, oh Father God, of your presence, oh Lord God. And Lord God, looking to the hills from which cometh our help, oh Lord God. Keep each and every one of us, oh Father God, under the eyes of your protection, oh Father God. And be back here again, Lord God, at the appointed time, oh Father God, is waiting, oh Father God, as hungry little children looking to be fed, oh Lord God. Forgive us of our trespasses, oh Father God, as we forgive those who trespass against us. We ask these blessings, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, the grace.
You may be seated. I haven't.